Thank you for tuning in to the JBV Radio Show. We welcome you to our special guest audio series. So grab your pen.
Your pen.
Everything you need. We pray that you hear a word from the Lord that will change your life. Today, our guest audio teacher is Apostle Corey Thompson.
Prepare to go now into the word. I want to invite you tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter number one, as we will go back in and revisit our groundwork that we've laid over the last couple of weeks out of the first chapter of Psalm. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Psalm chapter number one, beginning with verse number one. Amen. You'll find these words. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's what the word of the Lord says. It's blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Hallelujah. We're grateful for the word of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Verse number two says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse number three, the word declares in verse number three, Psalm 1 and 3, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted. That's a key word there tonight. Planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Father, it is that we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for this, your word, the word of the Lord that cannot return into you void. We thank you that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word, Father, your word, it shall remain. The grass will wither, the flower will fade, but the word of the Lord shall remain forever. We thank you for your word because we hide it in our heart that we will not sin against you. Father, we pray as the word declares, the entrance of thy word bringeth light. And so, Father, we thank you for enlightening the eyes of our understanding, even in this moment, that we will be able to articulate your heart, that we'll be able to receive, hallelujah, with all clarity, thought of mind and heart, this of your word, that we would not only hear your word, but we would become doers of your word and not hearers only. Thank you now for a word that will bring healing. Thank you now for a word that will bring direction. Thank you now for a word that will bring strength and encouragement to your body. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Listen, as I was preparing tonight, I was wrestling with the thought of actually what we could actually deem this lesson tonight. As many of you know, we've been in a series entitled Rooftop Decisions. Rooftop decisions and how it becomes detrimental, hallelujah, to be to make certain decisions when one self-elevates themselves or if they're actually in a place that they shouldn't be because they're out of the timing of God. And so we've discovered even in David's reign that the Bible declares that in the spring, at the time when kings went out to war, David remained in Jerusalem and he sent forth his men into war. Uriah, one of the men that he sent into the battlefield, David then remains behind. He stays in Jerusalem. And the Bible is very clear where it says that it was in the spring, the time of which kings went to war. David remained in Jerusalem. Well, we know how the narrative of the story went. David begins to go to the rooftop of his dwelling, and then he looks out and he sees Bathsheba. And then he makes a decision while on the rooftop in an elevated place, out of season, because it was the time of season where kings went to war. So he makes a determination out of season from whom the place, position that God had placed him. He steps out of the timing of the Lord and he decides to make a decision that will not bring God glory, but it will please his desire. And in that moment, David's desire had shifted from pleasing God into the fact that he desired to have Bathsheba. We know when he made that decision, he ends up committing two sins before the Lord. He commits adultery with Bathsheba and then tries to cover it up by having Uriah murdered. And so tonight, we're going to talk about the government of God, the government of God. And as I was in preparation for tonight as to what we would call this, let's just entitle it God's Way tonight, God's Way. And so listen, when we look in at Psalm chapter number one, verse number one, blessed is the man, as we see it, who walks not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. One translation says rivers of water, that in its season, its fruit would not fail. In other words, in its season, his leaf would not wither. If the leaf doesn't wither, then the fruit doesn't fail. And so he's in a season he's in a season of fruitfulness as he remains planted. Okay. Planted where? Planted, the Bible says, by rivers of water. Literally, the translation is literally implying that this man's desire is planted in God's will. I'm going to say that again, that this man's desire is planted in God's will. And so tonight, I want to pick up from this perspective on tonight. I bid all of you a great good evening. It's great to have all of you. I'm wrestling with something on tonight because I'm seeing out of 30 plus years of ministry, I'm seeing something within the body that is disturbing because it does not appear to reflect God's original plans or God's original purpose. Blessings to you tonight, Facebook user. Hallelujah. Listen, it does not in particular begin to reflect or look like what God had ordered from the beginning. And so I am wrestling with the fact that how is it that things are going in this direction when God has something so much more, much more greater in store. His implications were clear. His thought process was clear. His communicating what it is that he desired was clear. What are you talking about, Doctor? I'm talking about from the beginning, God's intent was made clear. However, man's interpretation now, based upon mankind's own takeaway or how the process has gone from what God originally intended from to where we see things in our society, in our churches, in the kingdom of God. I'm wrestling because it does not reflect or seemingly look like what it is that God's original plans and intent was. I don't know if any of you are like me tonight, where you can see in the Word of God and clearly see from the Word of God, in contrast to what we're dealing with today, as it relates to what it is that God is desiring. And so I just made a statement to us tonight to encourage us that the fruitful season of man, hallelujah, it remains as long as man's desire is planted in God's will. That'll preach all by itself. A desire that's planted in God's will. Planting, we understand, is an agricultural term where it has everything to do with sowing and reaping, has everything to do with planting and reaping. If you plant, you will reap. Okay. What it is that you sow of that same seed you shall reap. And so I've never, as I stated last week, I've never saw in all of my days of my life, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I'm not ashamed to tell you, but I'm not going, it's not important. But all of the days of my living, I've never seen a tree uproot itself. I've never witnessed a tree uproot itself. Okay. Now I'm not talking about some type of catastrophic event that occurs like a hurricane or a tornado, but just in life in general, I've never witnessed, and neither have you, a tree uproot itself. So it bears noticing or taking note of the fact that attached to a fruitful season in man is based upon his desire or his cognizant thinking to remain planted in God's will. Okay, if you're taking notes, understand this. Man's greatest possession on the earth is his understanding of the need of God in his life. I'm going to say it again. Man's greatest possession on the earth is the understanding or his understanding of needing God, the need for God in his life. God has to have the preeminence. God has to have the preeminence in our life. He must be more than just a priority. He has to maintain that first place in our lives. We must keep God first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So then it brings me to this point tonight, that when we look in at scripture, how it is that blessed is the man that walks not after the counsel of the ungodly. We can just pause right there and we can weigh that from what we are seeing today. How is it, God, that it seemingly appears that the ungodly has been seated in seats of authority? How is it God permitted now, seeming like they're walking and they're standing in the way of sinners, and they're walking in what you forbade not to? We saw it in Genesis, where it is that God forbade Adam and Eve to touch the forbidden tree, yet and still we see them carry that very thing out in disobedience, causing a need for the kingdom of God to be furthered in the earth, because God's plan seemingly has been halted because of Adam's decision, watch this, to uproot his desire from God's will. And if you would understand, we understand the narrative of that story, because Adam and Eve were removed from the environment that was created for them to be sustained and to flourish, based upon a decision to uproot their desires from the will of God. And so if we could further tonight, I would encourage us now. I would encourage us now to look now at in scripture, 1 Samuel chapter number 8, verses 7 and 8. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter number 8, verses 7 and 8. Listen, I'm just going to give you the backdrop of what's happening here, because we're talking about God's way, the government of God. What does that mean? 1 Samuel chapter number 8, beginning with verse number 7, the Bible is clear, because we'll find out what's happening is Israel had already deviated from faithfulness. By the time we pick this up, the Bible is clear, because what has taken place is Israel has at this point already deviated from a place of faithfulness. But here, Israel is referred to in the female genta. Formerly, Israel had rejected God, or they reject God as their ruler, as her ruler, taking, watch this, a major step toward being exactly like all the nations around her. It was not God's intent for Israel to be like any other nation. However, Israel has rejected God at this time and now is desiring, please watch this, to be exactly like what God does not want them to be like. As a matter of fact, this occurred between 1100 and 1000 BC, or roughly about 350 years after the original making of the covenant between God and his chosen people, Israel. He makes this covenant, and in roughly about 350 years after this, Israel has been going around, please hear this, in circles. What's this? Cycles that keep them, watch this, outside, watch this, of the desire or the will of God's intent. Bless you, prophetess, right? Watch this now. So now, except for brief periods between Israel, between when Israel and a judge or a king who did right in the eyes of God, except for those brief periods of time, we find Israel repeating a cycle. And we're talking about the government of God tonight, and we're talking about in particularly God's way. What does that look like today? What does it look like? What does God's intent look like today? I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks exactly like it did when he first ordered it. It looks exactly like it did when he first made mention of that's what his desire in the earth was. It looks exactly like that. However, the spiritual harlotry continued unabated until God formally, watch this, divorces Israel by sending Israel and Judah into captivity. Okay, did you catch all of that? Did you catch all that? In short, Israel deviates from being faithful to what God's desire was. Israel rejects God as ruler, takes a major step towards being like all the other nations that God had no intention for them to be like. Sounds a little bit like what we're witnessing in our day and time. Sounds a whole lot like that. Seemingly the body, church, is desiring to be much more like the world, that God has no desire for the church being like. Seems like the church is rejecting the government of God and desiring to continue in this harlotry of thought and mind and deed and action, in blatantly opposing or going in contradiction to God's original plans and purposes. But I believe I'm in good company tonight. I feel preaching coming. I feel preaching creeping. I believe I'm in good company tonight where you understand, as I understand, that there is a remnant, my God. There is a remnant in the earth who has a desire to remain faithful to God's desire, to remain faithful to God's will. If we continue in this, we will frequently gloss over the truly important parts of this. As you read, watch this, you will see from Genesis chapter number 17, verse number 6, all the way through to Deuteronomy chapter number 17, verses 14 through 20, that God anticipated Israel having a king. That he anticipated them having a king or judge? Yes. You know why? Because God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. At the same time, God had already determined and perceived that Israel desired a king or a judge. Watch this. But it was not in his original plan or purpose. It was not how the government of God was instituted to move in the earth. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. I just need you to type in bold letters if this is making any sense to you. I need you to type in bold letters, God's way. Watch this. God's way. God's government is God's way. I'm going to let that sink for a few minutes. I said God's government is God's way. Did you catch it? Again, I'll repeat. It is clear from Genesis chapter number 17, verse 6, all the way through to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 through 20, that God anticipated Israel having a king or judge. The title is of little importance. Why? Because having a king was not the real issue, because God had already planned for such. Watch this. Every organization must have a leader. Did you hear what I said? I said every organization, if it's going to be proven to be such, must have a leader. Oh, okay, so here it is. God lays down instructions as to how the leader should conduct himself in office. Okay, I said God laid down the instructions as to how the leader should conduct themselves while in office and even out of office. Watch this. That they are designed to ensure that the king does not elevate himself. I'm gonna pause right there. It is designed that a king should not elevate himself. Are you hearing this? Should not elevate himself above the people and rule as a despot. Instead, people of God, stay with me. He is to be thoroughly familiar with and guided by the attitudes and the laws of God. Did you catch that? So then notice now, when Adam and Eve sinned, Adam sinned against God, there comes a void on the earth, because now the DNA that God breathed into mankind, watch this, mankind or God's reflection or mankind stops bearing the reflection of God and chooses to identify, oh God, with a lie. Are you hearing this? And so what has happened now? Adam, watch this, a lie has taken full embodiment in the earth. Watch this. That contradicts, oh God, God's truth of God's original plans or God's original intent. The lie has become full embodied. Are you hearing this? To contradict what it is that God desires. Oh God. And so God then has to remove, oh God, what fails, please hear this, to continue in bearing his image and, oh God, and becoming of his likeness. Also, so God does not look like sin. So in the instance that Adam chose to sin, he began to identify with the lie. Y'all will catch it in a minute. In watch this. So it is in the desire of God that one in leadership must comprehensively know that his own nature is just like those he serves, but one must remain humble. I don't know about you, but I'm not seeing a lot of humility. God, which is in contradiction to what God desires. It's in contradiction to God's way. However, the key to understanding now the significance of Israel's demand from in 1 Samuel chapter number 8 is that she desires a king just like all the other nations. Israel, watch this, desire becomes or takes on the identity of harlotry. Stay with me. Israel's desire in this instance takes on the identity of whoredom. Israel's desire takes on the identity of contradicting God's way or contradicting God's government. Stay with me. Here it is. She is now after what every other nation has. She's no longer satisfied. Oh, God help me. With God being her husband. She desires another. Oh, God help me. What's wrong in Zion? Woe unto them that are at ease. I feel preaching creeping. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Israel has messed around and taken on the identity of a harlot. No longer satisfied with the covering of God. Oh, God. Oh, God, help me. No longer satisfied. God bless you, Apostle Squires. No longer satisfied with God being the husbandman. No longer satisfied with God being her covering. No longer satisfied. Are y'all catching this? Israel's desire has taken on the identity of whoredom. Oh, God. Taken on the identity of whoredom. She doesn't want what God wants. She wants whatever all the other nations want. She wants now a king. Because Israel's has come to the conclusion that God is no longer enough. I feel this thing. The government of God becomes of less importance than Israel's desire for king, to have a king. Here is where this really unfolds. Israel lost her identity by trying to be like what she's not or what they aren't. Had Israel understood their true identity, they would have known that from the beginning of time, God help me, before time got started, oh God, before the foundations of the world were created or formed, Israel was in the thought of God beyond the stars that we see, beyond, oh God, the hills, the mountains, beyond brick and mortar, beyond grass and dirt, beyond the sky. Israel, just like you and I, were in the thought of God. As a matter of fact, before mankind, God help me, oh God, was created, and before we rested or lie in the loins of a man who stood in the earth, God had a desire for you. I can't tell you to high-five your neighbor because I don't know who you are around in this moment. Hallelujah. But I just need you to throw a high-five up on the comment section or throw something up there. Let me know this is bearing witness with you in this moment. Israel's desire takes on the identity of a harlot. Please hear this, because God in this instance, in Israel's thought process, is no longer enough. She wants to step out on God and have everybody else's king. Oh, God, I'm telling you, I feel this thing brewing tonight. Israel loses identity by having a desire that contradicts God's will. What does your desires look like? Okay, let me pause parenthetically and just ask this. Oh, God, help me. I mean, what is it? that we are desiring today. I told you moments ago that I believe there is a remnant being raised in this hour, that their desire is for God. Their desire is after the things of God. I want to ask you a question tonight. What is your desire? What does your desire look like? Please hear me. I don't need you in this moment to spiritualize this just because we're having this discussion on Facebook Live and YouTube. I don't want you to over spiritualize it just because there are some other saints and believers gathered together on this live feed. But I need you to be honest with yourself. Oh, God, help me here. I need you to be honest with yourself, because like my brother told us, Apostle Kevin Graham told us in a meeting in the conference over the weekend, hallelujah, that God is concerned about you. Hear this. He's after the real you. Why? Because God, in the words of my brother, cannot send the blessing to a fake address. Woo, that thing bless me. God help me. What does your desires look like? Israel lost her entire mind by trying to identify with what they were not in the plan of God to look like. Taking on an identity that's in direct contradiction to God's will. Remember the verse, Psalm 1:3, where it talks about, and he shall be like a tree planted. Okay. What does that mean? It's referring to the man, watch this, whose desires are planted in the will of God. Did you hear what I just said? It's referring to the man's desires that are planted in the will of God. No tree uproots itself. I've not seen one with my natural eye as long as I have been living. I've never seen a tree uproot itself. Israel lost her identity by desiring somebody else's head. I almost went somewhere with that, but I'll stay this course. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Israel lost her identity by desiring another's head. The whole thing that I'm trying to point out, prophets, right, is that Israel is desiring a king, not understanding that they're rooted in their DNA. They are kings. They're desiring something they already are, but just have not come into the law of recognition of. The law of recognition, I read something today regarding the law of recognition. It says the law of recognition teaches everything you need is in your life. It's in your life already. Everything you need in your life is already in your life, merely awaiting your recognition of it. I'll say it again. The law of recognition teaches that everything you need in your life is already in your life awaiting your recognition of it. God, help me. Help me convey this, Holy Spirit. I feel it. Everything you need in your life is already in your life awaiting your recognition of it. Oh, so then here it is. Why is it, oh God, why is it in this instance that we see a nation who has been deemed God's chosen, desiring to be like what they were not created to be? Case in point, why is it that the church is desiring, God help me, to be like what God never intended it to be like? God never intended for the church to become a religious cycle. God help me. God never intended for his elect, God help me, to be bound.
Thank you for tuning in to the JBV Radio Show. For more information about us, tap or click shondocenter.org. That's www.shondocenter.org. If you'd like to reach out to us, leave a comment, for prayer,
or just to let us know how we're doing.
Email us at jbvpositiveradio@gmail.com. That's jbvpositiveradio@gmail.com. We thank you again so much for tuning in. And remember, love isn't love until you give it away. God bless you.